I have this great crack research department that allows me to get some good information flowing my way to stay in touch with what's going on with some people with strong opinions and people that have a right to have those opinions heard. Rex Byerly was a man I served with in the legislature, and I respected Rex. We didn't vote the same way all the time, and in fact, many times we voted opposite. He was a conservative. I was a progressive. I understand all of that. But I read this article about a former state rep and how he's saying the state needs to return more money, and it got my attention. I called him. He said he'd come on with me. Former Representative Byerly, how you doing?
Joel, it's been a long time since we've talked.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you on. Thanks for doing this, Rex.
Well, I remember, you know, I heard your kind introduction there. I don't remember us hardly ever agreeing on anything, but at the end of the day, you know, we still managed to stay friends.
Well, there's a couple bills actually we were on together. Oh. If you go through and look, but yeah, I mean, you're right. We were political opposites, but yeah, we did. We respected each other, and I think
absolutely.
That's important. I want you to grade the North Dakota legislature and their response to what's happening with the Williston Basin.
On the whole, you know, not individual pieces, but on the whole, I would probably have to say somewhere in the neighborhood of a D.
And in 2014, you're saying that. This play has been there for a while.
That's the worst part about it, is that the legislature has had multiple opportunities to make it right, if you will, and they have failed on each occasion. You know, McKenzie County, Watford City, they had a study done, and of the income that the state received as a direct result of the oil impact down there, McKenzie County is receiving just less than 7% of that money back to help them out. Now that's an abomination is what that is.
Well, let me throw this to you, because that's why I wanted you on this statewide audience. If I'm Skip Drovdahl, who hails from Watford City, I'm going to make the argument that there's only one of me and there's how many of them? Is that the problem, or what is the problem?
Well, that's part of the problem, yes, indeed. All you've got to do is look at any of these states, you know, for instance, and I'm just going to pick on the state of Washington, for instance. The population center in the state of Washington is in Seattle. So Seattle dictates to the entire rest of the state of Washington what shall be done. In the case of North Dakota, the population center of the state of North Dakota is within, 30 miles of the Minnesota line. And that's the way that things flow. I mean, that's a fact of political life. There's nothing you can do about that.
But I want to throw this to you because it matters. There's a man named Bob Scarple that I didn't agree with as well in my time in the legislature a lot. We were at odds a lot. I've had him on this show with me a lot. It's kind of weird, Rex, because what's happening is Bob and I are finding ourselves agreeing a lot lately. And so he has been boisterous. He has been forceful. He has picked the fight. Are your people not picking the fight?
Precisely. You know, I won't dodge the question. You know, our people out here did not do their job.
Okay. Does that mean you get off the bench and say, I'm here again, I'm ready to run again?
Well, I'm on the fence. You know, our endorsing convention in Williston is on March the 6th. And I'm going to have to make a decision. I truly am. I'm not egotistic. You know, Joel, I'm not an egotistical person. I'm just not that kind of person. But the trouble is that in the old days, we in the West, were able to sit down with the people from Fargo, from Grand Forks, from wherever, and talk these issues out and make good things happen. And it doesn't seem to be occurring any longer. You know, we've lost all of the, you know, all of the old guard, if you will. The people from the West that used to be able to talk to the people in the East. You know, the Mike Timms, the Frank Walds, the Herb Urlachers, you go down that list, the Ray Schmitz, all those people, they're gone.
What would you say to the people listening who would say, maybe from my side of the aisle for that matter, Rex, who say if you keep electing the same people and expecting different results, you're not all that bright?
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with just the exact end of that, but I think that I would agree with the first part. You know, if you do elect the same people over and over, you know, this is what you get. And the people should have by now, you know, most of the people that were there had enough seniority and everything that they should have understood, you know, how the process works. And I think that some of them probably, you know, they get their hackles up and they aren't willing to sit down and talk to, you know, somebody else, aren't willing to listen to somebody else. You know, I remember back when we were there, you know, of course, we didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah.
So we kind of were forced to work together. Now it's a lot different because I think, and it isn't just our people out here. You know, don't get me wrong. We've got, the state has got so much money right now that it's like we won the lottery. And if you ever see any of these programs on TV, you know, that are how the lottery ruined my life, that's kind of what the state of North Dakota is in now. We've got so much money that's flowing into the legislative, into the legislature, that it's like everybody is just trying to grab every piece of candy they can.
Well,
I kind of long for the days when we don't have, when we didn't have that kind of money.
There's two. There's two things. There's, stay with me through the break. There's two things I want you to consider. Number one, if you yourself, if you were back in one of those chairs, which you darn well might be, if you're back in one of those chairs, if you would ever consider lowering the oil extraction tax before these needs are met, that's question number one. Number two, how you do it? How you go there outnumbered and deliver? And I'm curious what your strategy would be. So stick around. Rex Byerly, longtime legislator from the Williston area, considering another run. And Rex hails from the party that's representing that area now. And he openly admits we could be doing better. So I'm curious what he thinks about this stuff. Stick around. More coming your way right here on News and Views. Rex Byerly, our guest here on News and Views, with me, Joel Heikamp, the host. Rex, I want to ask you about the oil extraction tax, because it seems as though your side of the aisle focused at least a month's worth of attention on lowering the oil extraction tax. Is that something you support?
Well, I think that when you compare us to other states that are involved in oil production and stuff like that, our taxes are higher. You know, that was pretty much a direct result of Measure 6 way back in the old days, which kind of helped destroy the last oil boom. Do I think that it's the highest priority in the world? No. You know, at this point in time, you know, the oil industry knows what the deal is, and they are willing to play in, you know, they've come to the table with, you know, what's on the table. Now, would I like to see it lower? Yeah, because I think that if anything does occur to start a slowdown, you know, the Obama administration just released their fracking rules for diesel fuel. Well, fortunately, we don't use any of that, but when are they going to do the next step? If we get into that boat and we still have these high taxes, those oil companies are going to go to Texas, are going to go to Oklahoma, are going to go to Wyoming or wherever. So I think we've got to be a little proactive, but it isn't, you know, life or death, let's put it that way.
The reason I raise it, though, the question, Rex, is because to me it shows a lack of understanding of what you're going through in the basin. There's a void of leadership. Governor Schaefer, a man I respect, got in an RV, traveled all over this state, and with it had his likeness on it, and he said, if you don't lower this tax, these people will leave. Well, you know what? We didn't lower it, and they didn't leave. Okay, so then you look at the legislature. In the legislators in the East here, Rex, primarily my side of the aisle, they supported you. They wanted more out there. They put a plan together to get more out there. They got rolled. They got beat down by Republicans from the East, which, again, goes to my issue of leadership, because you've got Dwight Cook in Mandan pushing for lowering the extraction tax. You've got a governor's office and Pam Sharp at OMB that continues, in my personal opinion, to flat-out lie about what revenues are going to come into this state. And I believe that. I believe that they misrepresent what revenues are going to come into this state because they want to brag about how much money they got in the checkbook. And your people are paying higher rent than ever before, more than L.A., more than New York. Now, you tell me if my argument that there's a lack of leadership at the top levels is a bad one.
Well, I guess I would dispute that. I think that you're probably being far more political in your judgment on that than I would be. But that's the way things are. I think that, like I said, as far as the extraction tax is concerned, I don't consider it the highest priority in the world. I do consider if let's just leave it this way, if that money continues to come in at the rate that it comes in, these counties and cities out here and the school districts, don't leave them out, they should be entitled to a bigger piece of the pie. And I mean a significantly bigger. Like I said, if McKinsey County is only getting back 7% of what they export to Bismarck, there's a fundamental problem.
Let me go to question number two. And you had a whole break to think about this.
Yeah.
Your blueprint for doing it, because you're still outnumbered. If you get off that fence and you get one of those jobs again, what are you going to do? How do you accomplish that goal?
Okay, well, let me give an example from the old days on how we did that, working together kind of thing. Williston School District up here is a landlocked district that doesn't even have enough dirt to raise enough money to run the schools properly. We all knew that in the state. Everybody knew that. Everybody bitched about it, if you'll pardon me. I'm sorry. Everybody complained about it all the time.
Well, there's been worse words said, Rex. That's okay.
When I sat down with the superintendent, I said, okay, everybody's been complaining about this forever. Why don't we do something about it? So I sat down and I talked to him about it and everything. Then I went back down to Bismarck and I sat down and I came up with a change to the funding formula that looked like the district here would benefit from that thing. Now, you remember how Layton used to run, everything that had to do with K-12. And Layton was a hard man. I mean, he truly was. He was, a Marine, let's put it that way.
He was rigid, yes.
And I was able to sit down with Layton and talk to him about, the situation here. And instead of just complaining, I said, and Layton, here's my plan. This is what I think we can do. And I explained it to him. He mulled it over. I went to Jack Dalrymple, who at the time was the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, and I explained it to him too. And we sat down, then the three of us, and by golly, guess what? Layton wasn't as rigid as everybody said Layton was, because we got that extra little bit of funding that helped these landlocked school districts. And it wasn't just Williston. It seems to me that there was one over by Grand Forks that was affected by it. There were about a half a dozen school districts that were in the same boat. And we made it better. But we made it better by, instead of complaining about things, actually coming up with, okay, this is how we can handle that. And then we went to the people that were involved, and we made it happen.
Rex Byerly from Williston, North Dakota, is our guest here on News and Views. Rex, if you see one more report, if reports continually come out, which they have for years upon years now, saying, oh, we underestimated the amount of revenue coming into the state. We've got $150 million extra just in the last quarter or just in the last by it. I mean, come on. At what point do we get to call BS?
Well, I haven't been that directly involved, Joel. I mean, I don't sit there and look at the OMB reports every month or anything like that. What I can tell you is this, is that when those numbers come out, somebody has to be able to sit down with Al Carlson, whether you like him or not, he's the majority leader in the House. Somebody has to sit down with Rich Wardner, and somebody has to sit down with the governor and say, okay, guys, we're not doing this right. We have to back up. We have to start invest. I happen to believe that when you got money, you invest in assets. You don't invest, you take anybody that's out here. There are two groups of people out here. There are the older people, us people, that we've been through this multiple times. And you don't see us going out and buying boats and buying RVs and buying big trucks and, taking vacations in Europe and all of that stuff. We're out here, hoarding our money, buying assets, things like that, that we know that will continue forever. And unfortunately, we're not doing that at the state level. Highway 85 is a prime example of that. Highway 85 is, is the major artery for one-third of the state of North Dakota. And right at the moment, the third that's contributing most of the money to the state of North Dakota. And what have we got? I went downstairs last night at my house, and I dug around in one of my boxes down there that had old junk in it. And I came up with the dedication program for the Long X Bridge that's south of Watford City. In 1959, September 12th, 1959, was when that bridge was put in there. We still have the same damn bridge down there. It's still a choke point. And every time something comes up, the state highway department, and it doesn't matter whether it was, you know, when Walt Yelly was there or when Zink was there or, you know, whoever is there now, we always come up with 100 excuses why we can't do anything about that bridge. It doesn't make any sense that a major artery of the state of North Dakota is still a two-lane road.
But it also doesn't make
all the money we got.
It also doesn't make if I have been in my time in the legislature, I was in the minority, and yet I still was able to get things done. I got bills passed. I had plenty of opportunities to be standing next to a governor signing a piece of paper. I get that. That was my job, and I should have done that. But here's the point. If I knew that I was the source of all this income, just because I have less population base than they do in the East, there is no way they would muzzle me. There is no way they would shut me up. And it seems to me that the leadership from Western North Dakota just takes whatever they give them and they go home and say, well, don't blame us. I mean, we try to do. I mean, come on, Rex. At what point do you stand on a stump and say, you will not ignore me?
Well, with the exception of Bob Scarpell, and I wasn't involved in any of that. I only know what I read and stuff like that. It appeared to me, other than Bob Scarpell, nobody west of Highway 83 was there banging the drum all the time. You know as well as I do that the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, absolutely.
And you know, there. Well, I'll even be nastier than that. And you know this because you served and I served. There are two types of legislators. There are those that are there so that they can have the title on their tombstone when they die. And there are those that are there to make things happen. Now, you know, like in the case of you and I, we may not have agreed on many different things, but we felt that our job was to make things happen. And we did. You know, like you said, even though, you know, you were in the minority, you know, so on and so on, a person that is dedicated to making things happen is going to make things happen. If you're just there thinking that it's one great big social event for 3.5 months where you get to go to all these dinners and everybody, you know, thinks, you know, acts like you're, you know, their buddy and everything, you're not going to get anything done.
When are you going to make up your mind if you're running?
I kind of figure that I've got to come up with some sort of answer by the end of the week.
I think so. Let me know.
In order to marshal troops and everything.
Let me know, Rex, what you decide. Okay.
I will do that, Joe. Right. And it was a pleasure to talk to you. I see you haven't changed any. Let's put it that way. And I hope I haven't either.
You know, we're like that. Remember that old movie, Big Jake? Him and Martha got along so good in the beginning, then they got angry with each other, and they said, you know, you haven't changed a bit. And he says, nope, not one bit.
There you go.
Good to talk to you, Rex. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Rex Meyerly, ladies and gentlemen, a political adversary of mine, but yet somebody I respected. The point is this. You know, I would love to see Western North Dakota look at a new group of legislators from my side of the aisle. I don't hide that. I don't lie about that. I believe that a new voice needs to be heard, and I think there's good people out there who aren't afraid to put a D behind their name that are for assets or infrastructure, as I say it. That being said, I will tell you this. You need new people. You need new people. You need new faces. You need new voices. You need Rex Byerly is from their side of the aisle, and he just said it plain to you. In his words, you can take his words, not my words. What I'm making the argument of is it's ridiculous to have Bismarck hoarding all this money, putting it in cream cans and burying it out in the yard of the Capitol when, in fact, they could darn well get that money moving on Highway 85 and other projects.